When someone gets sober and starts working on themselves, one of the first things they want is for people in their life to trust them again. In this episode, we talk about how to do just that, rebuild trust with the people in our lives. And more importantly, we discover that the trust that must be rebuilt first is the trust we have in ourselves.
Welcome to Through the Glass Recovery Podcast, where we believe that connection is the opposite of addiction, vulnerability is the antidote to shame, and that recovery isn't just rewarding, but it's also a lot of fun. We're your hosts, Steve and Julie. Listen as we get together with friends to shed light on the hard things, talk about the other side of addiction, and how we create a life so full, there's no space left for alcohol.
If you've been stuck in a drinking cycle for a while and you feel like you're on a merry-go-round that just won't stop, chances are whatever you're doing isn't working and it's time to try something new. We offer affordable one-on-one coaching services to help you get your footing in sobriety and get moving in the right direction towards a fulfilling life without alcohol. Check out our website at throughtheglassrecovery.com for information on how to schedule a free 30-minute discovery call and find out if sober coaching is right for you. Welcome, everybody, to episode 82 of Through the Glass Recovery Podcast. It's nice to see you all. We're going to do introductions as always, and I'm going to go ahead and start with Rachel because she has done this a few times before and she knows how it goes. So do you want to share with everybody who you are and what you do and all of the other cool things about you?
Rachel, Addict with Purpose here. I'm so excited to be here. This is always my favorite place to be. I love coming on here and just getting the opportunity to just spread hope and talk about things that are super important to me, which is recovery related. There's this really great saying in recovery that you can't keep what you have unless you give it away. And so this is one of my favorite places to do that. I am 2.5 years into my recovery journey, which is so cool because I can now say I'll be 7 years this summer. And that's insane. I couldn't get 5 days sober. So like the thought of 7 years, it's just amazing. So I'm super happy to be here. I love being able to just share on fun topics, new people who are also just loving to be a part of the journey. Thank you guys for letting me on again tonight.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. It's nice to see you. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. So next we're going to go with Michael. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on your show. My name is Mike. I am a grateful recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. I started Sober Press back in 2020 during the pandemic, so you can find me there. But I'm just grateful to pass it on and spread inspiration wherever I can and help the next person out.
How long have you been sober for, Mike?
I've been sober for almost 5 years. It'll be 5 in April 9.
Right on. Coming up.
Very cool. Yeah, well, it's so nice to meet you. And I love what you're doing in the recovery community. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. And
last but not least, we have Nadine.
Hi, I'm Nadine. I'm 38 years old and I'm 3.5 years sober. Thank goodness. I live in the mountains of Northern California and I met Julie and Steve through the I Am Sober app.
Yeah.
Literally.
So in person story. Yeah, we just got to hang out with Nadine a few weeks ago in Phoenix. We met up with a whole bunch of people that we've met in recovery, and we actually get to hang out. And I love that that happened because I don't think I've ever gotten to really spend time with you before that. And now I have a great new friend, and we have an awesome new podcast guest and all of the cool stuff. So, yeah. All right. So for our topic tonight, how does one go about rebuilding trust? For a lot of us, we did some pretty awful things while we were actively drinking, things that hurt the people we love and damaged our relationships. While that stuff looks different for everyone, I think it's safe to say that most people in recovery find themselves wondering how to get others to trust them again. So what has that looked like in your life?
Years. Years is what it looked like. It took years to rebuild all kinds of trust. Like it, and I mean, it was like so many different things. For me, like I had to build trust in the justice system because I completely broke it at probation for years upon years. Like a simple charge, lasted like 5 years and it should have been 30 days. And so like rebuilding trust in many ways, I abandoned my kids. Like I never showed up for them. Today, dad will let me hold his wallet and go to the store when I wasn't even allowed in the house. Like I could hold all his credit cards today and he would know I wouldn't spend a dime unless he told me to. I don't always give him his change, but that's like a kid thing, you know? So it took, years to be left to, like, last summer, my parents left me home alone in their house. And I think those were like some of the really big things that were cool. Because again, like in my disease, I couldn't come home. Everything had to be supervised. Like they were standing outside the bathroom door, making sure I wasn't in there too long and making sure they weren't hearing, you know what I mean? Like just awful. So, I mean, it took years. I think my dad started to trust me about year four, which is down. But that was just the 25 years of damage I created.
Yeah, I agree, Rachel. I think that's a lot of, it takes a lot of like time and consistency of just showing up over and over again. I don't even know if too many people even trusted me ever in my adult life. I mean, I have my sister and thankfully she was never victim to like my blackouts, but I think the biggest person for me, though, is I'm learning to trust myself, and that has taken a long time. That's, like, the biggest person for me, and that's kind of helped in all areas of my life. So,
I love that.
Yeah, that is, you know, I think really something that, you know, if you think about it, we spend the most time, you know, in isolation. So it's us. It's just me, myself, and I. And I think that's the greatest comeback is earning my own trust, you know, knowing that with the experience under my belt and all the things that I've been through, you know, I know that if I'm connected to a really supportive community, that, you know, I can trust myself. And even though there are triggers and there are stumbles along the way, where, you know, I'm maybe not as sure-footed, I still have yet to slip all the way. And, you know, I can carry on because, you know, I have my support and I've, you know, assured myself that, you know, I can do this with the support, going to meetings, having a sponsor, and doing all the right things. And yeah, you know, we're human and we're not always going to do the next right thing, even when we're sober, you know, and that's the grace I think that, you know, a lot of us need to give ourselves, you know, so that comes a long way as well, you know. Part of the trust that I feel like you get back from some of the people that have seen you in your worst way, I think, is walking the walk, you know, and being consistent. You know, some of the things that you guys have already said, you know, it takes time, it takes a lot of time, but being consistent day after day in that time and actually showing up, being present and doing the next right thing, you gradually earn back that trust. And that's huge, you know, and that's something you should never take for granted. Trust is probably one of the biggest things that you can earn back.
I'm going to pull out the Julie card here and throw in something about authenticity. This is Julie's bread and butter. Authenticity is finding yourself. And like I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about the trust in me and then in the words that I say, that I mean, that become authentic to me. And that's when you, Mike, you're saying walking the walk, right? Well, everyone has their own gait, right? Your walk is different than everyone else's walk. But once you figure out what that authentic walk is to you, then your message becomes true to you. My message becomes true to me. When that happens, and then I'm consistent with it. I had a friend send me a message, and he reaches out every once in a while and we'll exchange some words. And I'm going to be 3 years sober in 9 days. So I'm going to hit the 3 year mark. So when you talk about time, he sent me a message about how much more of a complete person he sees me now. And he knew me when I was in my like deepest part of my addiction. And he's like, it's incredible to see how much more of a complete person you are now than you were before. People come to me now to have that conversation, to be vulnerable, because they can trust me in that space to not judge them. And I have to be able to trust my thoughts. And you talk about the isolation and existing in my own space before I can even really give that space properly to somebody else. If I don't learn how to not judge my own thoughts and see them for what they are, then I'm going to really struggle, or I'm going to insert myself into other people's, you know, put my own stuff there and fill in the blanks instead of just allow that to happen.
But
I was just going to say, I think that's really cool when people show you examples of how you are gaining their trust. Like how you just said, Steve, where like people come to you with vulnerability and can tell you those things, or that made me just think of like, I have friends that they asked me to watch their kids. And I mean, I know sometimes people get desperate, but like that wouldn't have happened some years ago. They asked me to watch their kids. They asked me to watch their dogs. And like, I don't think people would have trusted me with like their most special prized possession before I was done drinking. I mean, it never happened. And now it's a pretty regular thing in my life.
I think you get trust back when you tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
Now go, Rachel. Sorry, I was inserting myself.
Okay, well, so another thing people trust you with, it's okay. They let you drive their car now. Like, how crazy is that? I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but like, I work for a company that gives me a set of keys knowing I'm in recovery and have like 17 billion DUIs, and I get a keys and a gas card, and that is insane. That wasn't what I was going to say, but when you had said trusting with your dog and people's animals, I was like, man, like people trust us to show up for work. Just everybody on here is trusted in a community of, kind of piggybacking off what you said, Steve, like people trust us as human beings to help them get through hard times. And like, we can even pick ourselves up off the floor, you know, like it is insane to think that there's five people on a podcast right now who have broken all trust and faith in them, in themselves, to be in a position where people are like, they want to hear what you have to say, because you've proven through building trust and the consistency of showing up for yourself that you're a responsible human being. And sure, we make mistakes, right? Like that's the human part, but like we've built trust into a community to... People want to hear what you have to say. They want to follow you. They want to, you know, oh, I want to get sober. Let me listen to them. And that's the cool part. I never in a million years would have thought somebody was going to be Rachel. How do I do this? I thought you had to eat a bunch of meth. You know what I mean? I can tell you all the bad things in the world to do. And now we get to sit and inspire people, and that is through trust. And I just think that's like empowering, because I could go off on that.
Like, so the recovery community is like all of our chances at a clean slate, right? We're showing up. Nobody knows anything. I mean, we all have a past. And everybody, when you show up in the recovery community, everybody knows you have a past, but they're not interested in that. And we all get to start fresh with a whole new set of people and a whole bunch of new faces and show up consistently day in and day out over and over again. And we get to build that trust. So far, I've been lucky enough to have not really broken that trust with the people in my community. You know, for sure, we all make mistakes, and we've all probably grown enough with our emotional intelligence to know how to apologize for those mistakes and change going forward, right? So we continue to build the trust. But once trust is broken one time, it takes forever to build it back. And then if you have someone that you love where, you know, you screw up, you break the trust, you finally earn it back, you break the trust again, you earn it back again. Like, it's this cycle that so many of us were in. For me, the biggest one was with my kids. And that breaks my heart now. My husband was in so much denial about the fact that I was an alcoholic that, like, he never really distrusted me. But my kids saw it every day, right? I mean, I homeschooled my kids. So it was, mom's pretty normal, mom's pretty cool, you know, and I would go for months where they never knew that I was drunk or never saw me drunk. And then there'd be like one day where I'd just be a complete sloppy mess. And then they would know, oh, here we go again. And then, you know, over and over and over for days or weeks or months at a time, I would be the normal mom that was holding her shit together. And then I would have a fall apart moment. And it gets to the point where they don't even want to try to trust you again because you've screwed it up too many times. And that is heartbreaking. That is a really hard thing to earn back. Like, I'm 2.5 years sober. I feel like my youngest daughter feels like she can trust me now. My oldest daughter has no desire to even try, which is heartbreaking. But that's the reality of it, you know? And I think the other thing, and this goes back to what Rachel said in the very beginning, what did it look like in your life to rebuild trust? And you said years. Like, mm-hmm. We don't get to put a time frame on somebody else's, you know, forgiving us or trusting us again. And that is the hardest part, because I can be like, I am 2.5 years sober. I've done so much work. I am not even sort of the same person that I used to be 2.5 years ago. Like, I am unrecognizable in the way that I live and act and behave and think. But I don't get to say to my oldest daughter, it's been long enough, you should trust me again. Like, that's not up to me to make that call. It will never be up to me. And that is one of the hardest things, because I talk to people so often and they're like, I don't understand why they don't trust me. Look how good I've done for these 6 months or for these 10 years or whatever it is. But you don't get to make that call for that person that you hurt ever. You just have to. And I say this all the time. All I can do every day is wake up and do my best to be the person, to be the mom that she needs. So that one day, if she does decide to show back up in my life, she'll be able to trust me. But I can, well, that's the only thing that I can do. That's the only thing I can control. And it's so hard. I know there's so many people out there that are going to hear this, that are going to be in a similar situation with a spouse or a parent or a sibling or a child. We just want to make them trust us because we feel like we deserve it. Damn it, I deserve to be trusted. Look at me. Right? But we can't.
There's 5 people in here right now that are living the apology.
Mm.
All of us are.
That's such a good point. I mean, there is such thing as a living amends. And I think really the only thing that we can hang our hat on is doing the next right thing, always doing our best to maintain some level of, I think, coherence of self, you know, knowing who we are, where we're coming from. Steve, you brought up a really good point, you know, being present in, you know, the most authentic way possible. And, you know, it's one of those things, like you're talking about with your daughter, it's heartbreaking. And I can understand why, but it's her timeline, like you said. And it's one of those things that, well, you know, I think in my heart of hearts, I would love to think that as time goes by and there is that bond that gets repaired, it will be stronger than ever before. That would be my, you know, sort of hope and wish for you. But the only thing that you can do right now is keep going and keep showing up and keep doing your thing.
You have to stay consistent. Whether you're seeing, reaping the benefits of it, whether you're seeing the benefits or not, you still have to stay consistent every single day.
We talk about correcting mistakes and trying to do it the right way. That's still what you're doing, right? The broken relationship is a result of all of those mistakes. And today you're still working and trying. I'm going to say try because you try and do the right thing. And when I don't, even though I tried, I can apologize, right? And I can still live the apology. And I can still try and change. Because apology to me means that I'm going to change something. And I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to change a behavior.
That's and, proper apology.
Right. And when I live that, I'm going to start getting trust back. I'm going to trust myself because I'm going to hold myself accountable to my own word. I'm going to change that behavior. And somebody else is going to see that I did that. And then that's going to rebuild the trust too. And that's how relationships work.
Yeah.
To
that end, I feel like you can't force a relationship, you know, even if it does have to do with a family member. And, you know, it's one of those things that all you can do is just be and be yourself in the best way possible. You know, recovery is a day-to-day thing. No one ever recovered. It's recovery, as in it's a constant process of mending, and it's a constant process of doing the next right thing and maintaining sobriety. You know, it's hard because a lot of people don't really realize that, you know, once you're coming back and putting yourself together as a human being, you know, having that background, it's always going to be repair work, and it's always going to be like a new obstacle, a new trigger, something new to contend with. And, you know, it's like, it's some of us actually in recovery have like are probably better equipped than most people. And I hate to say that because it sounds very egotistical, and humility is such a huge component to what we do. However, you know, I feel like, you know, it needs to be said because, you know,
your hand is forced.
We have to be better.
We don't have a choice. That's where it goes back to. Like, go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah.
No, you're going. But humility, that's all I need to remember that word.
I was just going to say, you know, we don't have a choice, right? We don't have a choice but to get better, to do better, to heal, to figure all of this stuff out. And the rest of the world is kind of lucky enough that they can just keep floating through it. But that's also where you get the idea that we are the luckiest, right? Because our lives, once we're in recovery, I don't know a single person that is in recovery for a few years that isn't like so much better off. And it really is a gift in the end. But yeah, that's, you know, it takes a bit to feel that way too. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah. Well, and so like one of the things that I learned in multiple attempts, right, of trying to get sober, like I didn't get lucky to be one of those people who got sober at 22. The time I tried, and, you know, have 20 years at this point. Like I kept trying it over and over again. But one of the things that I learned is like, I'm going to get sober tomorrow. And then I expect my whole entire life to be like, I was sober for 5 years already.
Yeah.
And so we have to go through this real humbling process of like, man, I woke up today. It's day one. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go be perfect. My kids are going to love me. It's going to be all this wonderful, great world. And it's like this really awful, awkward moment where, crap, I really screwed up a lot of things. It's really important to note, like, it, like, you know, Michael had said it before, it is every single day process. And every morning, you've got to wake up, trust yourself enough that you can start over, try again. And that's hard. You know, hard days happen. I've had so many hard experiences. And some days I'm like, man, I got through that sober. How? Because we're used to having that excuse to use and drink everything. Oh, I stubbed my toe. I better go drink. Well, I was late for work. I better have a drink. Oh, the kids got an F. I better have a drink over that. I mean, I had an excuse for everything. And so everybody around me knew that I was going to use no matter what. And so as these hard situations started happening, like breakups, death, loss of a job, moving from another place, all, you know, just the things, you start to build that trust with the people you love and care about, because they're like, oh, wait, she's still in the house. She didn't just leave and disappear. Rachel, where are you? I'm not sneaking window at 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody saying, me calling in at 8 saying, could someone please take the kids to school? Because I forgot to come home last night. And they're like, you're not here. So it's literally an every single day process of showing up for yourself so that the others can like, no, you're not going anywhere. And that it doesn't happen tomorrow. You know, it happens after 10.
If I may add to that, because I mean, you're saying like so many good things. It's also important at the same time, you know, those especially new in recovery, to give yourself grace. You have to recognize that's part of the thing is when you're living in amends, you're also living in amends to yourself and giving yourself grace for being human. It is so important, you know, to say, you know what? I had a bad temper and I snapped at somebody and okay, I did, you know, make my amends and I'm going to keep that moving forward and try to do better. But at the same time, you have to give yourself grace because, you know, we're human. We get frustrated, all of us, you know, and it's one of those things that you can't carry that around. That's weight. Excessive weight will bring you down.
Yeah. I was just thinking, it's just such, yeah, you guys are all right. It's just such a balance between like gratitude for all the work you have done and how far you've come, and then like despair for relationships you've lost. But, I mean, that's okay too. I mean, that's part of it. So it's just intense.
I mean, good. You can flip it around the other way when you start learning how to trust other people. And then trusting where I put my vulnerability. And it's not just how do I rebuild trust with the people that I've hurt. It's where do I put my trust in other people? And it's rebuilding that trust in myself that I can put it in, that I'm putting it and I'm giving it away in the right places. And I'm not constantly making the same mistake over and over again. And in the end, I'm ending. I've done this to other people. And now it's happening to me. And now I need to learn where to put my trust.
You have to learn to navigate it all. There's right. So much there. I know for me, like, I think most of us did this, completely abandoned myself, right? Like I had no idea what was okay with me and what wasn't okay with me. And I let, I gave everybody permission to walk all over me and I bent over backwards to make everybody happy. And so to stop doing that throws a wrench in trust also. You know, I'm rebuilding my trust in myself, but now other people are like, wait a minute, but you're not the same way you used to be. And so like, there's just so many different parts and pieces there that get messed with in recovery. People don't feel like, I think there's people who feel like they can't really depend on me like they used to because I'm no longer a people pleaser. You know, and I mean, that all plays into it too, I think. It's just every single relationship gets affected in some way or another when we get sober.
Yeah, I definitely still surprise myself sometimes when I trust myself enough to say like no to somebody, even if it's a little thing, like just saying no because I already have so much on my plate. I'm always like, whoa, I can do that.
And it's building muscles to do that, right? We talk about building sober muscles, but you can build the trust muscle too. You show up for yourself, you honor yourself. And that's like building a muscle. Like it's a little bit easier the next time and a little bit easier the next time. And then you can say no to bigger things or show up for yourself in a bigger way. And that builds so much trust to keep doing that.
I too am a people pleaser. And, you know, you begin to pay the price a little bit because then, you know, it's Nadine, right? Nadine. Like what she said was, you know, you get walked all over a little bit, and saying no, like Nadine says, you know, is a bit of, it's very empowering, but it also, I think in the end gets you the respect that you deserve, you know, and you have to, you know, like you said, is, you know, flex that muscle enough to work it out so that, you know, you can actually strike a balance. And, you know, boundaries, that's something I'm starting to really begin to enforce. And it's hard because, you know, I'm not used to it. You know, I too is a people pleaser. And I hated the fact that there's somebody out there that doesn't like me for whatever reason. But at the same time, you know, you give and you give and you give until you have no more, you know, left. And that is also something that, you know, we need to be mindful of because that could also tip us over.
Sure. I know all about people. That's a strength, just getting through that and like, you know, seeing yourself that it's okay to say no and to use your voice. And it's so scary. I almost, when you're a people pleaser, like learning how to say no is probably equivalent to being just as scary, not going to drink tomorrow. Like, what will the world think of me if I say no? Like, that is so real. And like, sticking up for yourself and having those hard conversations with people to set those boundaries. I think I'm at the part where it's getting easier, but I feel like break a sweat thinking, are they going to hate me forever? And it's okay, actually, if they do. But I think people pleasing is definitely a hard one to get through, for sure.
I try and tell myself or even say it out loud, like, it's okay if someone is mad, even if it's at me, it's okay. It's okay if you're mad at me. I think that's because I trust that I can work through it with whomever that is to see the other side of it together. And it's literally a trust thing. It's okay that you're mad. It's okay that this isn't working out the way it's supposed to. There's a trust that it's going to work out. Where before, I don't think I did. Like, I took it all personally and I grabbed onto the hurt instead of the hope.
Hmm. Yeah. Powerful. Right there.
Yeah. You know, it's being single and also navigating sort of the single life as someone in sobriety. You're managing trust in a whole different level where people don't know you and they know that you're in recovery. At least I'm very transparent about it. And, you know, there is this stigma. And without knowing somebody, you're out there earning trust once again. And sometimes, you know, the old people pleaser in me comes out, and before I know it, you know, it's kind of turned into this really weird dynamic where an expectation is set because I set it. And it's a different kind of like dynamic that, you know, I don't necessarily want, you know, in a relationship, you know, where it's always me that has to serve up what this expectation is that I set up. And that's part of trust too, is suddenly, you know, I'm not showing up in the way that I set up to be. And that's a learning process, you know, and that's, once again, like Steve said, is showing up in a very authentic, you know, place, but at the same time, being newish in recovery, of course, I'm still trying to find out who the hell I am. You know,
That is an adventure all on its own, which is why every topic we talk about, Julie will tell you, and I keep saying that because this is, Julie's thing, and I've said it twice now, but it all wraps back to authenticity, and she's dead right.
Yeah.
Because if it comes from that place, then you're going to make the right decision. You're going to, you know, correct those mistakes the way that feels right to you. You're going to tell the truth. You're going to get trust back. You know, Rachel, you talked about the justice, getting trust back in the justice system from friends, from family, yourself, where to put trust. And then, Michael, you talked about dating, and we all talked about people pleasing. There's the trust in yourself and the trust in other people and figuring out the wonderful dynamic of how to make all of that blend together. So I want to say thank you, Michael. Thank you, Nadine. And thank you, Rachel, for spending time with us today to talk about this topic. You guys were awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We really appreciate you.
Thanks for listening today, folks. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow Through the Glass Recovery Podcast so you don't miss an episode.